Welcome to Add This to Your List, episode
yes, indeedy.
93.
Ooh.
We are three co-hosts, Fumi Simano, Mark J. Parker, and Tom Chuba.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We get together on occasion just to talk about the ins and outs of what's happening,
you know,
what's cool.
Chit-chat about the biz,
you know. And so if you are joining us this episode, we are going to break down some
holiday.
I was so good, you guys, for such a long time.
Yeah, bloopers.
We're going to break down some housekeeping and headlines. Then we're going to get into our list, and then the day is finally here. Quibi has launched, yes. And so we're going to talk about it.
Uh-huh. Lots to talk
mm-hmm.
about.
Yep, indeedy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's hit in some housekeeping first. Mark, you have something that you'd like to share.
Yeah, so I thought this was really interesting. Of course, we all know, you know, COVID has shut everything down, and South by Southwest just, you know, last month was one of the biggest first things to shut down because of it, right? And so
we were supposed to
to be there. So that's why, you know, when I saw this headline, I was like, ooh, that's on my radar, because Tom was going to be the Add This to Your List representative at South by Southwest, and unfortunately, you know, it all postponed, but next year. But so I thought this was really interesting, and it's sort of really dividing people. So because the festival was shut down and a lot of festival people lost their jobs, and of course a lot of filmmakers now didn't have this awesome, cool way to show their films, whether they were indie or the big budget films that have premieres there, Amazon Prime has joined forces with South by Southwest, and they are planning. Now, as far as I know, there's no date set. It was supposed to be later this month, later in April. I think they're working it out, but they have partnered and they want to do roughly 10 days of virtual premieres on not only Amazon Prime, it's on Amazon just in general. It's literally free for whoever has an internet connection and wants to watch these movies. It is not just for Amazon Prime members, which is kind of a little controversial.
That is interesting.
I'm surprised they wouldn't want to at least have a barrier where it's like, okay, Prime people who are paying, you know, to at least have a core audience, but not everyone, you know? And the whole goal is that, you know, they want to show these movies to as wide of an audience as possible, have the most eyeballs on it, which is, you know, commendable. That's awesome. But a lot of filmmakers are worried about this, and they're worried that by showing their movies for free, even if it's just for 1 or 2 days, that will affect their sales deals with future distributors, you know, because it's like, well, you know,
yeah,
you already gave your movie away for free. Why would I buy it from you? I mean, people have already seen it. So
I think this sets a really bad precedent, too. Like, if you get people used to the idea that South by Southwest can be viewed from home, like, I get it that they're trying to figure out a way to still do something with what they were planning
mm-hmm.
this year, but they got to protect their brand for the future,
yeah,
too. Like, and I feel this way for a lot of things in entertainment. There's a really fine line that people got to tread where you can't get consumers too used to doing something very different from what your brand depends on the consumer actions, or else you're going to be in trouble. Your future is in trouble.
Yeah, and so as Hollywood Reporter reported a couple days ago, you know, filmmakers and producers are saying there's really no, you know, easy solution here, but showing free movies isn't really going to make a dent, you know, and won't help the filmmakers, even though the intention is great. So we'll see what happens. I think this could be great for short films, maybe music videos, because, you know, South by does more than just feature films. So maybe even some docs that are maybe so niche that maybe it might have been an uphill battle to get sales anyway. You never know, because there's a lot of episodic, a lot of, you know, kind of artsy, funky stuff that South by picks up. So maybe it's for those filmmakers. So we'll see. I don't know. I also don't know why. When I first read the headline, I thought for sure Amazon and South by were going to pair up and create some sort of site where users pay a fee. It could be a low fee. It could be $20 or whatever to see a certain amount of films. I don't know why they don't just do that. I mean, that still would get a huge amount of people. I'd be interested. I mean, that would be awesome. But to give it away for free, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and now on the flip side, you have a very small indie festival, the Greenwich Film Festival, which we've attended with Press Pass before, and I've attended even before the podcast every year, being in Fairfield County. They instead are going to run their festival completely virtual, and to get a pass to watch the films that we're going to screen at the festival from May 1st to May 3rd is $100, guys.
Wow, that's silly.
And this is a tiny festival compared to South by Southwest.
That's silly.
It's really interesting. A little steep, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Honestly, I think Amazon's doing that because they can, because they don't need the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's a matter of South by Southwest or the filmmakers being the ones to say no. They're going to be the ones who have to stand up and say something.
Yes. And so
Amazon doesn't need the money. They don't care.
And it's up to the filmmakers. They're letting them decide. And some have already said, like, thank you, but I'm not going to do that because that's going to hurt me in the long run. So we'll see. Apparently the deadline was my B-Day, April 9th, to submit anything for this Amazon online festival. So I guess they're just figuring all that stuff out. So we'll hear if it's a go. If any movie said yes, we'll hear. We'll see.
Hmm. And I wanted to talk Disney Plus. Mm. We've talked about it a bunch on the podcast. It has been announced that they have hit 50 million subscribers since launch. So it's like way, or 50 million streams since launch. So it's like way, way ahead of what they thought they were going to hit.
Wow.
Thanks to COVID.
What it is? I'm sure it is COVID. Also, remember, anyone who has Verizon has a year free. Yep. So that also was a huge incentive. Yep.
Great point.
So yeah, I mean, Disney Plus is like spearheading, way ahead of schedule. The talk right now is, are they going to surpass Netflix? Are they going to surpass Amazon? Are they going to surpass, well, I don't know if really you consider Hulu a competition because they're the same company. I don't know.
That's true. But, that's so true.
It's a different platform.
Yeah, it's still a different.
Right. But I was reading in one article that even though they have hit this astronomical number of subscribers, is it really something to celebrate? Because one, Disney Plus is not generating them money just yet, which is a relatively new platform, so that's not surprising. Mm. And, you know, so we'll see what happens after this whole first year of launch, after it becomes a situation where a lot of those subscribers who have it for free, like myself, I'm using a free one right now because I'm a Verizon customer.
Oh.
After that goes away, are people going to fall off and decide to keep it or not? I personally think people are, because it's a huge platform for families with kids, as a conversation we were just having before we started taping about, like, parents. I think that parents and people with kids are definitely going to want to maintain this in their home.
Or just anyone who wants nostalgic entertainment for any of the childless, you know? I mean, they have so many classics.
Although I will say, I thought that the nostalgia at... when we first started talking about Disney Plus, we were super excited about the nostalgia factor. But that kind of went away for me. I'm kind of just like, eh. Like, I want, like, good programming. Like, I want something to draw me in that I want to watch, whether it's a movie or a series. Not necessarily just hinder on the Home Alones or the, you know, Little Mermaids or the, you know, the vault aspect of their catalog.
You want to watch catalog. You want to watch new stuff.
Yeah, I want to get some, like, new, interesting stuff. And they have released a couple things early due to COVID and the fact that,
which,
like,
I think is very smart.
Toy Story 4 came out. Yeah. Onward, which was in theaters. They put it on the platform.
Yeah.
So they are doing some smart marketing and smart things that they're doing for the brand.
I think they also are releasing their Artemis Fowl movie that's coming up. I think that's going to go right to Disney Plus, which is interesting. So
they're making some interesting decisions.
I think it's smart.
They've got to keep the price down, though. If they up their price to what Netflix is, I don't think they're going to keep the hold that they have.
What is it now?
It's very cheap.
Isn't it $4.99 or
$5.99 like that. Yeah, it's hard because we signed up with our account for like 3 years, which they were also really smart in doing that, to do the bundling. But yeah, I think it's pretty cheap. We'll see. That's a good point, Tom. I think if it does go too much higher, it's kind of like, well, I already saw most of your programming in the past. But I think it's super smart they put Onward out there immediately. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
It's adorable.
I know. I want to check it out. Maybe next episode, maybe I'll see it. We'll see.
That's it for housekeeping. On to headlines. Tom, what do you have?
Sure. Well, still going with the COVID talk, I think we all kind of suspected that this may be coming, but the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Golden Globe Awards have announced that they are in talks right now to figure out whether or not they're going to relax some eligibility requirements so that films could be considered for awards later on. The Oscars hasn't announced anything yet, but I'm wondering if they're next. If Screen Actors Guild and Golden Globes are kind of realizing that they're in a little bit of a pickle and that they may be in more of a pickle come the end of the year. I mean, there's nothing on the release calendar until like June, I think, is the first movie. And when you talk about really, I mean, the summer tentpole season, summer blockbuster season is going to be non-existent this year. It's going to be slim pickings by the time we roll around to award season. And I think, you know, these academies realize that they've got to do something to either relax eligibility so that they can have a robust awards offering, or else no one's going to tune in and they're just going to look really silly.
You don't think about the fallout of everything and how it all
takes full
effect. And it's like, then you have to push. Because, you know, these people, these studios, they lay out their calendar years in advance. Not just one, not just two, three, 4 years in advance. So it's so crazy to see how they have to like scramble and repush things and how all of that factors into award seasons and then all of the awards. Like, Cannes at this point is basically canceled for 2020.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do? You know?
Yeah. So, Tom, do you know how they're sort of loosening up? Okay.
No, they haven't announced the specifics yet, but they have announced that they are talking and figuring out what to do. Because the other side of the coin is that you might just have films that were really mediocre competing for awards. I mean, I think Elizabeth Moss has a really good chance to be nominated for Best Actress.
Totally.
You know, I think Ben Affleck has a really good chance to be nominated for The Way Back. And it's, you know.
Those are the last two movies you saw in the theater. Right.
Yes. And girl, don't remind me. I have PTSD.
And Onward is the front runner for animated film. So,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, this year we'll have a lesser amount of, you know, films vying for nominations. But then next year, 2021, we'll probably have a ton of movies because going back to Disney Plus, when I read an article recently that Bob Iger said, like, they have no plans to put Mulan and other big, big movies on Disney Plus, they want to hold them for theatrical next year. So then maybe next year is going to be really big. You know?
Well, but then think about how many movies productions are currently halted, though, right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's a long time for film production to be halted. So things that might have been planned for early 2021 may move
later.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
From their date, too. It's just, it's the domino effect. And yeah, it's, I could talk about this forever and ever. But I also caution studios, if you're going to shift your movies this year, I wouldn't have more than one or two wide releases per weekend through the rest spread of this out. Year, because studies are showing that people are going to be really leery about going back to movie theaters right away.
Absolutely.
So don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself, entertainment industry, because it could be counterintuitive.
But you guys don't think that streaming might become a situation like an alternative where they decide just to start releasing these movies on streaming platforms?
I would love that, but I don't know. It seems like only certain hand-picked movies are being sent to streaming, you know?
I wonder what those decisions are and why those decisions are being made. Which films to release and which ones to sell back.
Right. Because remember, last month, the first, basically one of the major movies of 2020, A Quiet Place 2, that was the first movie to be halted from release. So, and we're still, you know, not hearing a peep about it. Like, they want that theatrical.
Labor Day, September 4th.
Labor Day. Okay, interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
And Candyman got moved from June to September 25th. Yes. So.
Which makes sense anyway. I want to see that around Halloween, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
So, that's my news.
Mark, what do you have?
Well, speaking of scary movies, I thought this was really fascinating. So,
bizarre.
Right? Really bizarre, really wacky. I don't know how I feel about it. But, you know, as we're saying, COVID canceled a lot of things, but deals are still being struck. People, the studios are planning for whatever years are coming. And so I thought this was really interesting, and I don't know if I'm ready for it. It doesn't seem that old to me. But a company called Sentient Entertainment, based in LA, has won the remake rights to one of the best movies ever, The Others, from 2001, starring Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. Scary ghost story. We all know it. Awesome movie.
But we all know the ending.
Yes, we all know the ending, of course. Yes.
Like, how are you going to remake that?
Well, apparently they want to modernize it. So I'm sure it'll be a little different. The plan is to modernize the story. But they like that it's going to have its 20th anniversary next year. It's timed to supposedly, hopefully, have a release or something around then. And they're already apparently talking to A-list talent, and like they're
they
full
keep
steam
that
ahead,
twist
even though
at the end,
there's COVID.
I feel like that made that movie.
Maybe.
And if you already know it, you're kind of like, eh.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how it can be done. Even in a modern way, I just feel like, oh, this movie was really honestly so perfect. Mm-hmm. And Nicole Kidman rocked that movie, as we know.
Yep.
The kids, I mean, that whole thing, I remember screaming out loud in the theater.
Oh my God,
guys,
me too.
I loved
yeah.
that movie so right? much. And I remember one of my best friends, she loves horror movies, but she gets terrified of them. And the night after we went to go see that in the theater, I like did the thing. You remember the old lady underneath the curtain in her room? I scared her
yes.
to death. Like she, like Peter Pan, she got scared so hard. I love that movie. It was so, so good.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's so good.
But it's like saying you're going to remake The Sixth Sense. Like,
yeah, you're right. Like, that's a great analogy, Tom. You're so right. Both movies, it's like that twist was so huge in the last few minutes of the movie that it's like, how do you do that again? Like, no, that's it.
Unless they just want to use the name The Others and it's a totally different ghost
story.
That's
true, too.
You know what I mean?
That, then we know that happens, so we'll see. But I guess they also like the idea that it's a movie all about self-isolation, so people obviously, you know, can...
Right.
Yes. So we'll see. Apparently it was a huge lucrative deal. So it's happening, people. The Others is being remade.
Now I want to watch that. Is there any place you can watch that? You don't have to pay for it.
That's a good question. I'll look that up while we're chatting. That. I've been going to justwatch.com like every day to see how to watch movies. It's a great site. But I'm sure it's on something. But yeah, so The Others, it's coming back. So get ready for it, y'all.
What did you say? Justwatch.com?
Justwatch.com. Yeah, it's super helpful. Oh, it's streaming on HBO, which
is
great.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, HBO and Hoopla. If you have that, that's linked to, if you're a library member like me, Hoopla is really great. So I guess you can watch it there too. And a few other things, but HBO, that's awesome. Yeah, now I want to rewatch it too.
I know, right?
So good.
Well, that's it for our housekeeping and headlines.
All right, so news is over. Now we can get to the fun part. Let's get into the... If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. Number one, it's free. Number two, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Number three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms. Number four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Pretty cool. And number five, it's everything you need to make a podcast, all in one place. So, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. List. Okay, people, we've been watching some things, as have all of you, and now is the time. We are going to tell you what we're loving, what we're hating, you know, all that jazz. Let's go with... eeny, meeny, miny, let's go with Fumi.
Okay, so the first thing on my list is Mrs. America. This is the new series that's FX on Hulu, just on Hulu. We all are aware that we're a little confused about how that works, but this is the FX on Hulu series that premieres Wednesday, April 15th.
People, it's Hulu.
Yeah, it's Hulu. Like,
it's on Hulu. Yeah.
It's so funny. You know? It's like calling, I don't even know, like, this is this section of this store. It's like, it's the store. Like, we're in the store. Yeah.
It is a series that stars Cate Blanchett, and she plays Phyllis Schlafly, who was the pioneer of the far-right equal rights amendment conservative activist of the 1970s. This series is an ad. I saw the first episode. I got lucky to check it out early. And ooh. I was very intrigued by it. I loved it. I feel like it has a lot of really, obviously, It has a lot of still the same arguments and fights we're having 50 years later, you guys. The 70s was 50 years ago, even though it seems like it wasn't that long ago. It was 50 years ago. I still think it was 30 years ago, you know? Like, my mind is still there. But, you know, the element of the Equal Rights Amendment. So for those who aren't aware the history of it, this started in the 1970s where women, feminists, really wanted to stand for the fact that gender should not play a role in how you're treated in work, in the home. Women should be able to have equal rights. While the conservative movement was felt very strongly about feminists and how, you know, how women shouldn't have to feel guilty for wanting to be a stay-at-home wife or mother or just be in the household. So that's basically what this series follows. Now, even though Cate Blanchett stars as Phyllis and this series is called Mrs. America, I was struck by, I don't necessarily get the vibe from the first episode that it's just about her. I get it's like, it follows a lot of the main characters, like Rose Byrne is in it. She plays Gloria Steinem and she looks amazing, like hair and makeup, like Emmys. Yeah. Okay, they got the wig down, they got the glasses down, like she looks fantastic. Uzo Adobo is also in this. She plays Shirley Chisholm, who basically was the first African-American woman to hold a seat in government and try to run for the presidential election in 1972. Niecy Nash is in this. It's like a really great array of like A-listers. John Slattery.
Foom, I think you're right because each episode is one of their names. So each episode title, like Gloria is the name of one of the episodes. Betsy is the name of another episode.
Okay, so I did not realize that. But yeah, I got the vibe from watching this. It's like, yes, Phyllis is the first episode and like you're going to see through her, but it's not necessarily something where every episode is going to be the sole focus through her eyes. Like it may come back around to her,
right.
But it's an ad. I will say overall that I really like this show. I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued by the conversations that they're going to start.
Is it dialogue heavy?
It is, but I mean, the show for me went by very fast. Like I didn't feel like it dragged on at all.
Now, Foom, is it an hour or is it an FX hour where it's really like an hour and a half?
Well, it's I watched an hour, but it could be an FX hour.
That's I know they like to go long.
Yeah, and I read an interesting article about this series on Deadline where the woman who created this, she basically said that this was supposed to be a show in a Hillary Clinton presidential era, not a Donald Trump presidential era. So after Donald Trump won the White House, they had to go back and rethink about the way that they formulated this show and really decided to come about it from Cate Blanchett's character's point of view. And so that I thought was also really interesting in terms of like, it may not have come up that way. Like the idea behind this may not have been that way. I think it was more so an overall of like the Equal Rights Amendment and like that conversation and the birth of like the moral majority and all of that stuff. But it's to me, it's an interesting, and I think that it's going to win a ton of awards and get nominated for a lot of different things in terms of like acting and styling and the production design. Yeah. It's a great, beautiful show. So, Mrs. America, that's an ad. And then the second thing on my list is a series on Netflix called Unorthodox.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about this, though.
Four-episode miniseries.
When it first came out, I watched it, and then I think I judged it too quickly and decided that I was bored and I didn't watch it, but then I decided to go back and try it again. So, it's an ad. I really liked the show. So it is overall about a young 19-year-old woman. She's a Hasidic Jew who grows up in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and she has just gotten married. And she just is completely overwhelmed with what her religion and her marriage and her community expects of her. She is expected to get pregnant immediately. She's expected to be a wife and a mother. She's 19 years old, and she's just like, this community is asking too much of me. So the first episode is basically her escaping to Berlin, Germany, where she holds dual citizenship because her mother was German. And her mother has also escaped the religion and the community and has gone to Germany as well. So the series follows her in Germany trying to start a new life with new friends. And then you follow her husband, Yankee, and his disturbing cousin, Moishi, as they go to Germany to track her down to bring her home. It's a great show. It, like you said, it's only 4 episodes. They're 55 minutes each. And it's predominantly in Hebrew or Yiddish.
Hebrew or Yiddish, yep.
It's a really interesting series to watch. The young woman, her name is Etsy, and she's played by Shira Haas. This show also stars Amit Rav and Jeff Wilbitch. I don't think anybody in the show is American. This is like a strictly like Israeli, German, British cast. So it's really interesting to see some new players involved. And I thought it was beautifully shot, beautifully done. There's elements. Etsy is very much into music, so there are beautiful elements of music and musical performances within this series. It's an ad. I think that it's something different. I love that you see a new culture and a new religion.
Is it suspenseful?
It's not suspenseful. There's nothing in the show that's gonna like shock you in any way. Even in the moments of confrontation, you're like, oh god, what's gonna happen? And then nothing really happens. Like, it's really just strong.
A lot of America's kind of like that.
It's really strong acting. The series is very strong in the acting aspect, but not necessarily in the suspense aspect of it.
Got it. Okay.
And there's a lot of really poignant scenes as well. So add it. And it's directed by a woman. So go, Maria.
Cool. Nice. Go, Maria, go.
And that's what's on my list.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Foom. Tom, what do you have for us?
All right. The first thing I want to talk about, I cannot stop raving enough, is the Will and Grace I Love Lucy tribute episode. Add this to your list. The episode is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So much like Mark, I've been a really big fan of the revival of Will and Grace. Fumi, not so much. He liked season one a lot, but then season two kind of really fell flat for her. Season two of the revival, that is. For me, I loved season one and two. Season three has been really hit or miss.
Yes,
but
definitely.
This episode, as we're nearing the end of Will and Grace for good, this episode makes me hope that it's going to go out on a high. So
now,
basically,
Tom, real quick, do you think it's really over for good? Do you think they might get back together in like 10 years or so for some more seasons? Because that'd be nice.
Well, it's hard to say without having seen the new finale, right?
Yeah, that's true. And also because Deborah and Megan like hate each
right.
other, which is so
which we'll
sad.
Get to in a second. Ugh, which we'll so get to sad. In a second. But basically the premise is that Will and Grace and Karen and Jack fight over who really is the Ricky and Lucy of their group of friends. And so each of them get an opportunity to play Lucy, Fred, and Ethel minus Will, who is Ricky throughout all of the skits. And they capitalize off of the three most popular episodes that everybody knows about I Love Lucy. Mm-hmm. You have your Vitamita Vegemin, you have the Chocolate Factory, and you have the Grape Stomping. I mean, when you think I Love Lucy,
totally.
Those are the episodes that come to your mind. Those are the iconic ones, and those are the ones they recreate. Deborah Messing looks just like Lucille Ball. Like, just like her. It's crazy. I said she should play her in a biopic. When Sean Hayes Jack does Ethel, I was screaming because he had her voice down to a T. They do it in black and white to give it the feel. The production design is stellar. You feel like you're in Lucy's apartment. You feel like you're on the Vitamita Vegemin commercial set. Lucy Arnaz, who is Desi and Lucy's real life daughter, she plays the letter roll chocolate factory.
Oh, woman. I didn't realize
I didn't,
that.
Yes.
I didn't realize she's...
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so
perfect. That's a nice little Easter egg.
I saw on Deborah Messing's Instagram that she was there for the taping. I didn't realize that was her. Wow, Tom. Okay, love it.
Yep. But let's talk a little shade for a minute, because at the end when they show the blooper reel, Fumi and I picked up right away that there are just some things that they show that Megan Mullally and Deborah Messing are just
absolutely
not feeling each other anymore. So I feel like there's a lot of truth to the rumors that have swirled around this season, and
what
that
do you
it
think
really
it,
was an abrupt end.
What do you think it was, guys? Because I watched and I don't know if I picked up anything.
They were not next to each other in any blooper. They didn't interact with each other in any way, shape, or form. You could just tell that, I mean, they obviously did a good job of not making it seem obvious, but in terms of, like, energy and, like, body, like, positions, and you could just tell that they were not trying to be anywhere near each other.
They do a group hug at one point, and like Megan Mullally won't even like wrap her arms around.
Only clutching Sean Hayes. Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah. That was the only thing that was like, ooh, she's not doing a wraparound. She's like, oh,
do we know why
you.
They had a falling out?
No, nobody really knows why.
And then Instagram, like really kind of blew it out of water because I guess once they got the news. Or once they announced that the show wasn't continuing past this season, that's when Megan Mullally posted like that something along the lines of that moment when you like find out you don't have to be around someone that's makes your life negative or something. Yep. And then Deborah Messing posted a picture of like them with the creators and didn't tag Megan. So there was a lot of that. Then they unfollowed each other. So Instagram like really kind of was the was a straw that broke the camel's back.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
But people, check out the episode, even if you're not watching the revival or even if you're not watching this season because it didn't really start off great. You could go on NBC.com or it's on Hulu. Just find it. If you're an I Love Lucy fan, you're going to love it. It's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I was going to say, Tom, it's
such a beautiful. And I actually like, when I was watching Deborah Messing be Lucille Ball with the Vita Vita Benjamins, I was just like, my mouth was like ajar. Like, she did... like a phenomenal job.
They
and then of course you have
good.
Beverly who plays the Italian woman in The Great Stuff, which was a great surprise.
You guys should follow him on Instagram if you're not, because he's just a jack.
He's doing a lot of great stuff in quarantine. I'm glad this made it to our list because this episode is really special.
Yep, indeed, indeed. And that's a great way to wrap that. Second thing I want to talk about is the entirety of Schitt's Creek final season. So if you're living under a rock, you might not know that this little engine that could called Schitt's Creek, which has really become a phenomenon in and of itself, just wrapped up its season on Pop TV. And very shortly, it'll transition over to Netflix, where everybody else in the world will be able to finally binge on the final season. So six seasons in, they decided let's end it while we're up on a high. This season was the longest of the six seasons. It had 14 episodes. Most of the story focused on two people, David and Moira. And, Moira gets, most of her storylines, Catherine O'Hara, involve around a revival of the soap opera that made her a famous actress. So that's very timely, very clever. And then the rest of the storylines mostly revolve around David, who Dan Levy's character, and how he and Patrick are planning their wedding, finally, after three seasons of watching them fall in love. Of course, you have Alexis has her own storylines to deal with, and Johnny Rose has, you know, his Eugene Levy has his own storylines to deal with, and it's enough to make it feel like a well-rounded season. But unfortunately, guys, I'm a huge fan of this series. I was very late to the Schitt's Creek game, but over the Christmas holiday, Jeff and I started binging on Netflix, and we caught up in time for the new season to begin. I didn't like it right out the bat. It took me a good full season to really get into the swing of Schitt's Creek, and I ended up loving it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say the final season, though, guys, I'm going to say it's okay to miss.
Wow. Even the finale, the final episode?
Even the specifically the finale, guys.
Really? Because so many people on my feed. Wow, Tom, this is fascinating. I thought it was going to be the opposite. Because so many people on my social feed were like, oh my God, I'm crying. This was amazing. This was the best finale ever.
So it's very emotional, but it was too short. There was, I mean, I'm sure they could have done an hour-long finale. It didn't need to be a half hour. So the very final episode is surrounded around David's wedding. You don't see a single shot of anybody at a reception. They do the ceremony and then they flip to the next day without any scenes at a reception of everybody having a good time. There's so little time spent with the supporting characters this whole final season. You just feel like they've neglected a lot of the supporting characters who really play a big role in Schitt's Creek and really are a reason why you fall in love with the show. You see so little of them this season, and it baffled me, guys. I don't I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate it, but as a fan of the show, I was just left wanting a lot more than what they gave.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. So then would you, so season five was great, but season six, not so great.
Season five was fantastic. Season six, I don't think you're missing anything, honestly.
Wow, Tom, that's a bummer. Yeah. Were you bummed?
I know. I was really bummed.
What do you think it was? Do you think they just got bored? Do you think they just didn't know where to go or how to end it?
I don't think they knew how to end it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bet you they got nervous and were like, sure, let's try this or something.
And they had 14 episodes to work with, yet it felt so lagging in certain parts. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, certain parts of the season really dragged. And then, you know, it's not like they were rushed because they had two extra episodes in their order. I don't know. I don't know. Hmm. Maybe when something is that good, you don't know how to end it without and satisfy every single fan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then, Tom, did you watch the, like, post-show documentary? There was like special.
Not yet. Okay, but I hear that's very good.
Yeah, I heard the same. So that's interesting. Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, thanks, Tom. Wow. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
I guess I will start with my wah, wah, because I have two items as well this week. And the first one, I am really surprised I'm saying this, but as of right now, I saw the first episode of this new show on HBO called Run. It just premiered
totally
this week.
Merritt Weaver, right? Yes.
Yes. Just premiered this week.
So
it's brand new. I was sort of confused from the get-go. Let me just fill you in on my perspective of this show. Absolutely love Merritt Weaver.
Yeah.
She's been having a great year with...
Yep.
She was in Marriage Story. She was in Unbelievable, which was fantastic. I'm pretty sure Fumi talked about that on our show. Fantastic show. I mean, she's been great in everything, right? She's like known for her short acceptance speeches. She doesn't give a shit about this stuff. She's a great actress. She's not the right fit for this role. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge is involved. She didn't create this show, but she is an executive producer. And I feel like this is sort of a miss. I'll be nice and say it's a one and done. And I would love for you guys to watch it. And listeners, please watch it and tell me what I'm missing, because it's getting rave reviews. Every critic is loving it and saying it's electric. I was fighting to stay awake. It's a half hour, brand new HBO half hour dramedy. It's being called a black comedy thriller.
Huh?
From at least in the first episode, I saw no thrills, and I didn't really laugh at all. So that's a wrong label. But so it's basically about these two people around like late 30s. They were college sweethearts. They dated in college, then of course had their separate lives. We open with Merritt Weaver's character. She does not love her life. She does not love her husband. And so she gets this text in all caps, run. And we see her sweating. She's not sure what to say. This really has sent her over the edge. And so she decides to text back with the shakiest of fingers, run. And then she runs. And so that, we find out, is this duo's kind of like calling to leave their lives, meet each other at Grand Central, and go travel and be together. But it's weird because it's not really romantic. I don't know. It feels very, very, very forced. The way they're looking at each other. Again, great actors. Merritt Weaver, and I never know how to say his name. Domhnall Gleeson,
yeah.
Yes, great actors. I mean, they do no wrong, but like the way they look at each other, it's just like they were directed so hardcore to like really look at each other. And then the things they do, I don't want to spoil anything, but the whole episode I'm like, so what's really going on here? I don't get any of this.
Could it be just platonic, or is it supposed to be romantic?
No, it's supposed to be romantic. Like,
oh,
like,
interesting, because I
didn't
get that sense from the trailer.
You didn't?
Right. And like, and they're not really a great match.
Well, I don't get the chemistry. I didn't really see the chemistry between the two.
There isn't really much chemistry. I mean, she's looking at him and her mouth is open, and I'm like, but I'm not feeling what you guys are trying to put out there. So here's the thing. It's very hard to always judge a show by the first episode. So I'm going to continue, but I'm only continuing to see if maybe in episode two, it like really becomes something different. And it's like, oh, wow. It's weird. I think it's sort of a misfire. So as of right now, I'm saying it's like a one and done, definitely. Like, it's sort of a skip, but I'm trying to be nice. Basically, I didn't like it. So we'll see how it goes. But Phoebe Waller-Bridge apparently is also in it. She was not in the first episode. I guess she pops up as a supporting character. So we'll see if maybe she saves it. But please, guys, tell me what I'm missing, because everyone in the world loves it. And I'm like, what? So that's Run on HBO. Wah, wah. But then I have an ad. And the ad is the brand new Apple TV Plus show, Home Before Dark. Super cute, very interesting. It took me a little bit to get into it, but I like it. I want to continue it. It's kind of like a young Nancy Drew. It's like a Harriet the Spy. So okay. Home Before Dark, it's actually based on a real person. It's based on a real 9-year-old reporter named Hildy Lysiak. On the show, her name is Hildy, they changed it slightly, Hildy Lisko. And so she's played by the super cute, I love this girl from the Florida Project, Brooklyn Prince. She is so good, and she's a great little lead. She plays Hildy. And so the story goes, she and her family, her dad is Jim Sturgis from across the universe. Her mom is Abby Miller, who I have never seen her before, but I like her a lot. They play Matt and Bridget. They are mom and dad. And so they move from Brooklyn to Washington because dad lost his job and they need to go back to his hometown. And so Hildy is this, you know, super spunky little reporter. She's got her own little homemade like news site that she runs. And she sort of, you know, is in the midst of a crime in town. And something happens, a murder happens, and so she wants to report on it. The cops are telling her, go away. Everyone's trying to just shush and ignore this 9-year-old who actually, like, can crack the case better than anyone else. So it is based on a similar story where this real 9-year-old girl, I think it was in Pennsylvania, it was not in Washington, she, like, heard about this grisly murder in town and started reporting about it way before anyone else did. They were trying to cover it up. So yeah, it's interesting. So there are some dark elements. I will be honest, tonally, it's a little off at times because I can tell they want it to be family friendly. A child is the lead. She has friends. Actually, Tom, you'll love the little boy who stole the movie, the new Halloween from 2018. The little boy,
Julian.
He's in it. Yes, Julian is in it. He's so great. He's in it. She's got a couple other friends, couple enemies. It's a very much all about, you know, a new 9-year-old in town who people bully and think she's weird for being a little reporter and kind of a nerd. So it's sort of like a kid's show, but then it's like about a murder and like then she figures out that her dad was involved in something years ago. So she's trying to now unravel that and figure that out. So there's some good mystery to it. So it's sort of like two shows in one. I could see some people being like, this isn't dark enough for me. But I like it. I'm going to stick with it. I think it's interesting and good actors. There's enough there in the first episode that I'm like, I want to see where this goes. So I would say add Home Before Dark to your list. So,
awesome.
Cool. Yeah,
check that out. So, ladies and gents, let's add that all up and recap. So our list was, we had Mrs. America on FX on Hulu. That was an ad. Also an ad was Unorthodox on Netflix, which I know a lot of you are talking about and watching. So check out both miniseries, right? I think Mrs. America, that's a miniseries too,
like
right?
Like a limited series, yes. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, two very hot new limited series to check out. Then Tom gave us the Will and Grace I Love Lucy episode, which, I mean, you guys gotta check it out. It's such great performances, great TV. And well, you would have thought it would be great TV, but Tom is saying the Schitt's Creek final season and series finale was not good. I wonder if we are going to get some heat. Let us know what you think, because I know a lot of love Schitt's Creek.
Come at me, bitches.
Don't send it to me and Fumi. Send it directly to Tom Chuba. And then I had Run on HBO. Also not a great thing to really watch. Let me, please prove me wrong, but as of right now, it's like, it's a skip. And then Home Before Dark on Apple TV Plus. Check it out. Add that to your list. So that is it for our list. And we have a lot of new stuff to watch because, Tom, what just came out? Tell us.
Yeah, thank you for that, Mark. I'll take it away from here. So as we said at the top of the episode, Quibi has finally launched after a good year of talking about it and wondering what it was going to be all about and how it could really crack the mold and make itself stand out among all of the other streaming platforms that are there right now. So in short, Quibi is short for Quick Bites. Get it? Q-U-I from Quick, B-I from Bites. Ha ha. And what that means is that the episodes are short enough. They're designed to be short enough to basically hold your attention for a commute, or if you're waiting in the car for your husband to run into the bank or the grocery store, or you got 5 minutes to kill before having to go and leave and go see a movie or whatever. It's basically supposed to be allow you to capitalize on the very free moment, the small free moments that you have in your life, if that makes sense. In the beginning, they were saying that it was going to be a platform that is only going to be on your mobile phone or tablet device, and so a lot of the shows were going to be designed to be held in a vertical fashion. But just this week, they announced that they are going to consider going onto Apple TV and other like devices because they realize that nobody's really on the go right now with COVID.
Yes.
And being unsure when all that is going to end and whenever life is going to resume some sense of normalcy, they're having to adapt very quickly because they've signed up. Some articles are touting this as a success, but I've seen a lot of articles say only. So I'm going to go with that and say they've signed up only 1.7 million subscribers in their first week. I think that's pretty good, mm-hmm. given the competition that's out there and everything going on right now. Yeah. But, you know, some people in the industry are being hard on it. But anyway, it's out, and we all checked out at least a show. Mm-hmm. And we're going to tell you what we think. So I'm going to do something a little different and start. I'm going to go first, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, okay.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. Number one, it's free. Number two, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Number three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more platforms. Number four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Pretty cool. And number five, it's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Okay.
So I watched Game Show, and no surprise here, it's G-A-Y-M-E show because it is a game show all about LGBT, and I'm your LGBT correspondent, right? So no surprise that I picked that. Unfortunately, guys, I guess I'm in a bad mood with COVID because I'm gonna say that is also an okay to miss.
Well,
did Tom, either of you watch that?
No,
I couldn't get past the trailer. I mean, those hosts were. Ooh,
yeah.
God.
So in short, the episodes are only about 7 to 8 minutes. So I'm like, can you really play enough games in 7 to 8 minutes? But that part works okay. But it's hosted by Matt Rogers and Dave Mazzoni, who honestly, guys, I have no idea who they are. So if you know, could you please inform me?
No.
Dave Mazzoni does sound familiar. How do I know that name?
I don't even know the name. Anyway, yeah. They host the show and they pair straight people, straight contestants, with people who are like C or D list celebrity and are LGBT icons. So you get a straight person paired with an LGBT icon who's somewhat of a D-list celebrity, and that makes a team. And together they get a host of questions that are pop culture or queer culture related. And whoever racks up the most points out of the three different games they play per episode gets labeled gay as fuck at the end of the episode.
Oh, how do you feel about
that? Kind of like Tom's Trivia, huh?
How do we feel about that? Is that...
I'm okay with it. It's not as tone deaf as it sounds, and it's not as problematic as it sounds. But I thought it was all over the place. It's too fast. Like, I'm not even sure what the objectives of the three games that they played in the first two episodes were, because they speak so fast because they only have 7 minutes to work. The contestants were lame. They're picking them from like middle America, which I guess is the point in a way, but they're just not interesting, the straight contestants that they're picking. I didn't really know any of the C or D list celebrities that they picked to be the pair with the
I gotta check this out.
To pair with the straight contestant. So I don't know, guys. I missed something. Yeah. I that's all I gotta say.
I don't even seeing the trailer for this.
It's loud and crazy and they're just like screaming the whole time. But I think this is good for our listeners, Tom, that there is gay programming out there that you don't like. It's not that
I
Tom
can be objective.
Says, yes. Okay. So this is good. I hope everyone's taking note.
So would you guys pick?
Boom. You want to take it away?
Sure.
First,
I think to? I know who Matt Rogers is.
Do you? Yeah. I don't recognize him. I swear that name, but I just looked him up. I don't really know him either, but he has a familiar name.
Matt Rogers' face looks familiar, but I'm not familiar with who he is. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So I picked a throwback and something new. I picked Punk'd and Murder House Flip. So Punk'd I watched, and it's the new iteration is with Chance the Rapper, but you know, the formula of the show is still there. They choose a celebrity, they play a prank, and then they yell out Punk'd at the end. So the first episode was Megan Thee Stallion. Guys, it was so stinking funny. I was dying of laughter.
Really?
Yes, it was so funny. And it's actually, when you think about it, the perfect show for this format, because you can get it done in like the 7 minutes or whatever it takes. Like, you have a beginning, middle, end, and that's it. It's a wrap.
Yeah, because I remember the old iconic episodes. There was like a few segments each
episode. Yeah, there were like three segments per episode. So
perfect formula. So Chance the Rapper punks Megan Thee Stallion. The prank is that like they steal her dog, and then like this like giant monkey comes out and attacks them. It was so funny. I was dying of laughter. Oh my God, you guys have to watch it.
Really? Okay. How is Chance?
He's good. I love Chance the Rapper. Okay. He can do no wrong in my eyes. Like, I just adore him. And he was funny. Like, he was super excited being like the Ashton Kutcher of it. And like coming out and surprising her. They obviously know each other and have a relationship. So it's like when they interact, she's cracking up, he's cracking up. It was a good synergy, and it was a good atmosphere between everybody involved. Those are the only two people that I was familiar with. Everyone else were like actors or people who worked with her or whatever.
Yeah, I feel really old, but like most of their like guests that they were pranking, I didn't really know who they were. I was like, Stallion? What? Like,
you don't know who Megan Thee Stallion is?
No, should I?
Oh my God.
What is she?
I'll
sing?
Say this.
Is she a singer?
She's a rapper. I'll say this. You probably have heard her music. You just don't know. You know how know how it is. It's like the black community knows who people are like 2 years before the white people do. And then white people know. And it's like, oh my God, this new artist. And it's like, that person's been out for years, but okay.
Oh, exactly. Right? Yeah. It's like that person has 10 albums, but sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Literally. You guys know the phrase hot girl summer, right?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, that's because of Megan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see I'm learning. Okay.
Anyway, so Quibi, Punk'd, I loved it. Then the other show I watched was Murder House Flip.
Ah, yeah.
I'm dying to watch that.
Okay, so I...
Haha, get it?
Oh. Yeah. So Murder House Flip was funny. It was not funny. I will not say it's funny. It was interesting. The concept... Okay. For those who are not familiar, they take a murder house, like an actual crime, a murder occurred, and then they do like an HGTV aspect of it. They like give it a new living room or give it a new kitchen or give it a new yard. So the first episode was Dorothea Puenta home. This is a woman who in the 1980s was a serial killer. She murdered elderly people and people with mental disabilities so that she could collect their social security checks. And
damn.
She killed 9 people that they know of and like buried them in the yard. Like it's disturbing. But this lovely couple lives there now in her home. And it apparently was original from like the time the murders happened to this couple living in this house. They even have the bedroom that they sleep in was like the one she like murdered people in. So it was very interesting. But they wanted their yard done. So they wanted a new yard. So the two hosts, Joelle Uzi and Michael Welsh, are like the hosts of the show and the designers. So they come in, they get the story behind the murder house, and then they meet the couple, and then they redo this yard. They did a great job. They did a great job with the yard. The first episode, like the story actually was three parts. So
yeah, I've noticed they do that.
Yeah, I saw that.
So yeah. I thought it was just going to be, and that's why I was really intrigued. I was like, oh, they're going to be able to do a home makeover in 7 minutes. Like, how in the world are they going to get that done? They didn't get it done. It took them three episodes, like 15 minutes.
They didn't get it done.
It took them like 20 minutes.
To be continued.
It took them 20 minutes to get it done. So that I thought was interesting. So basically it was just like an episode of HGTV, like a 30-minute episode of an HGTV show.
Totally.
But I liked it. You know, I'm intrigued by the concept. I think that it could get really interesting with some other choices that they pick. So I'm off a Murder House Flip. And I have to say, overall, for Quibi, I was really impressed with the interface. I thought it was done really well. I'm all about categorizing and making it easy for people to find things. And I think Quibi did a really good job with that. So two thumbs up. I actually really like the app. And I also think their ads are really smart. Because if you notice with their ads, they incorporate like a lot of like TikTok. They like incorporate TikTok with their ads. And I was like, oh my God, how ahead of the game are they in that aspect?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Interesting. You know? Okay.
So I like it. Two thumbs up for Quibi.
Yeah, and I have to applaud them for actually like having a good amount of content out of the gate. And they're adding new shows, because one of my picks just came out this week, their second week of release. But I like how, like, even the first day, it wasn't just like one episode per show. It was like a few episodes that were ready to watch per show. And I was able to watch a good amount of first episodes. Like, I checked out Chrissy's Court. I checked out Most Dangerous Game. You know, all that. But I want to talk to you guys about two shows that I really loved. Actually, I really loved three, but I'm only going to talk about two. First one, oh my gosh, came out this week, guys. I can't wait to keep watching, because I only watched the first episode. The Stranger. Did you guys watch this one yet?
No, not yet.
No, I've literally only watched Game Show.
Oh, it's good. It's like a Red Eye, kind of. Remember Rachel McAdams and the Wes Craven movie, Red Eye? So it's, I never know how to say her name, Micah Monroe. She was in It Follows, The Guest. Yep. She's like a little scream queen. She's great. And Dane DeHaan from Chronicle and all sorts of things. Wow, really good. It's a tight little thriller. Just in the first episode, we meet this female Uber driver. She drives for Orbit. And she's new to L.A. She's only been in L.A. for a couple days. She picks up this passenger, this guy, at this beautiful L.A. mansion. She's like, wow. And they're chatting. He's very flirtatious. He wants to sit in the front, not in the back. So that's kind of like, that's kind of weird. And as they get to know each other, she realizes he does not live in that house. He went there to kill the people who live there. And yes. And so he has a knife in the car, and she's freaking out. And what's cool is I think every episode is a different time, because the first episode starts at 7 p.m.
Oh.
So I think it's almost maybe like a 24 situation, where maybe every episode's an hour of the night. But yeah, it's a good thriller, and they're such great actors, and the writing is great. It's created by Veena Sood, who worked on The Killing and a few other good dramas.
Okay.
So yeah, it's got some good creators behind it, but yeah, check it out, guys. It might not be, you know, the most fresh kind of original story, because, you know, it's sort of like cat and mouse thriller, but it looks really good, and the first episode's great. So that's my first pick. And then the second pick, I have to give some love. This is on the reality side. And Sabrina, our social media manager, I remember she told us she loved it as well. I got to give it up for Nikki Fresh. Did you guys check out Nikki Fresh with Nicole Richie?
But it's on my list.
It's fun. I think you both, I know Fumi would enjoy it. I think Tom, I think even you would enjoy it. I know you're not into reality, but I feel like when you think about it, Nicole Richie, I've talked about her before for The Simple Life. I feel like she really is one of the very first like reality TV stars, like as we know it.
Absolutely. Yep.
And she is good. She's doing a little bit of acting. Basically, Nikki Fresh is her new alter ego. She wants to be a rapper for moms.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Gays. It's like, oh yeah, it's super cute.
Is it like her show on VH1?
You know, it might be. I never got a chance to watch that show.
And it's like I can't even remember what it was called anymore.
I can't remember what it was called either, like So Nikki or something like that. What was that like? Was that like different sketches and
she basically was like playing a comedic version of herself.
Okay. So yeah, this is very similar, but so Nikki Fresh is her alter ego. It starts with her husband, the Madden brothers. Oh, that's what it is. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I remember it wasn't on for very long, but I was definitely intrigued. It was on VH1, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So this is probably similar, but I just think she's great. I think she's super funny. She, it's kind of shot in that, you know, The Office and Parks and Rec way where it's kind of like a faux documentary. But so she's talking to her husband and his brother, the Good Charlotte guys. And she's like, guys, I have a new business that I need your help with and I need your money and I want to make an album and I'm a rapper and my name's Nikki Fresh. And they're like, you're a rapper? Like what? And her husband's like, is this like I forget the exact line, but he's like, is this another like fleeting idea like your other ideas? And she's like, no, this is really me. And she raps for moms, gays, Virgos, Jews.
She's funny.
She's so funny. And so each episode's like a different theme, but it ends with a music video. That's actually really well produced.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of like, I don't want to say hidden camera because the cameras are definitely there, but she interviews some real people. She's like at a grocery store, she's on a farm, talking to people and like freaking them out and weirding them out. And they're like, what? And then each episode ends with a music video of a song that is that theme. So check it out, guys. It's a good time. It's super funny. You know, when you're on the toilet or before you're falling asleep, like, check out Nikki Fresh because it's a fun way to like just pass the time.
I'm surprised.
So let me ask you.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say I'm surprised nobody picked, with all of us being horror buffs, the Eli Roth one. The 50 State one.
The Sam Raimi
or
one. That was my third choice. Everyone, watch it. I'll just say, just please watch it because I was not expecting the cast and the gore.
Because I definitely started it, but I was like, I thought one of you guys were going to pick it, so I was like, I'll let you guys have it.
Oh, that's so funny. It was between that and The Stranger just was so tense, but 50 States of Fright, yes. Definitely check that out.
Okay. Yes.
So, as of today, if you had to pay the $4.99 per month, would you guys do it?
I think I would. Is that crazy? I think I would.
I think I might too. Wow. Like, I think there's enough on there. And think about it, $60 a year, like, right? Like, you could just kind of pay it all at once, really.
Yeah.
But I think there's enough content on there that I'm intrigued by, that I like. And I know that they have so much more coming that I really am impressed with their launch. Like, I think they did it. I think they have more. I feel like they have more programming than Disney Plus had. When they launched, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Original stuff, you know? By far. Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I like it. And like you said, Mark, I like it. So I just sit on the toilet and just watch something.
Oh my God. It's so perfect to be like, yeah, I got 7 minutes to. I mean, literally, though, this is an app, guys, that like, if you already were procrastinators like me or like you just zone out too much, you're going to zone out even more because this is going to be terrible for our productivity. Mm-hmm. But it's just so fun to just lay in bed and be like, okay, I'll watch another episode of Nikki Fresh or whatever. I have to say, Chrissy's Court. So far, because I watched a good amount of, I didn't watch everything, but I watched a good amount of first episodes, and they're really plugging Chrissy Teigen's show. I feel like that gimmick you've already seen. If you've seen the trailer or just seen a picture of her with the gavel, you saw the show. I mean, no shade, but, you know, so there's some hits or misses, definitely, Tom. Because I know, Tom, you're not feeling like
Tom, I really don't think you gave it a chance at all, though.
But keep in mind, everyone, and you best believe I have the email open, and one of these days I'm applying Legends of the Hidden Temple from Nickelodeon back when we were kids.
It's coming, I know.
And did you guys get that email to apply? Because I'm applying.
Really?
<No.
laughs> Oh, you better believe it. I am submitting whatever they need.
You're hilarious.
So I like that they're doing like some throwbacks. I didn't see Punk'd yet. I'll check that out, but I think there's something here. I think, you know, for an app that is all about like attention grabbing, I do think some of these shows need a little bit more work. Like Most Dangerous Game with Liam Hemsworth it's fine, but like you gotta pull me in, you know? So yeah.
Yeah, as of now, I spend so much on like cable and my regular, you know, Netflix.
See,
and
I forget I you did haven't cave cut in. The cord.
I haven't cut the cord. I did cave in and get Hulu. For Little Fires
smart,
and
Tom.
For Mrs. America. So I'm not feeling throwing out my money for yet another subscription. We've all said that there's going to be a breaking point, and I think I've hit mine.
That's totally understandable.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I still, $4.99 a month for Quibi isn't bad, but I think it could be cheaper, but
$2.99.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I feel like it's a good $2.99. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I'm intrigued.
And that's our episode, folks. Thank you so much for checking us out. So thank you to Greg, Ali, Jay, and Sabrina. Sabrina is our social media manager. She's out there killing it right now. And if you're bored in quarantine like we are and you're watching a shit ton of content, take a picture of what's on your TV screen and send it to us. And we'll post it up there and show everybody what everybody else is checking out. Three things: listen, review, and engage. You can listen to our past episodes on addthistoyourlist.com or on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. Yes. Review. Leave us reviews on iTunes. Please, please, please. We ask you all the time. We're not going to stop asking, so just get used to that and just do it already. That way we could shut up about it. And then engage. Engage with us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're there. We're ready to chat with you. You just got to reach out to us. Yeah. We will be back in 2 weeks, and you'll miss us. We'll miss you. And toodles. Till then.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.